Welcome to the Former Fat Friend podcast. I'm Casey.
I'm Lisa.
I'm Allie. And together we've lost over 370 pounds.
We all know what it's like to be the fat friend. And now we are sharing the ins and outs of our weight loss journeys.
And this week we are talking all about Miss Allie.
Hey, girl. Allie.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Spotlight's on you. How do you feel about that?
So good. Really good. I'm getting through.
Yeah.
Allie, you've lost over 150 pounds, right?
Yeah. So I had gastric bypass just over a year ago. And since then I've lost, about 150 plus pounds.
It's incredible. What was your starting weight?
So the highest I ever saw on a scale was 308. And then after that, I asked not to be weighed anymore. And now I sit right around 155.
That's so incredible.
Yeah.
So I want to get to all the questions about how you decided to have gastric bypass and how post-op went for you. But I also want to understand kind of where you started. So can you tell me a little bit about childhood? Have you always struggled with your weight? Were you a skinny kid?
So I can confidently say I was never a skinny kid. No, I think my story is a little bit different than most bariatric surgery patients because I was a larger person always. I'm tall, but I wasn't probably obese until maybe college. Growing up, I was an athlete, so I started swimming when I was 3. By about 10, I had like really specialized and was focused on swimming. I always felt bigger than the people around me because everyone else were like tiny little stick figure swimmers, and I just wasn't. One thing that stands out to me was I was in sixth grade wearing a size 10 in women's clothing, which now feels very normal and small to me, like as an adult. But I was a sixth grader wearing that. Right. I hit puberty so early that I was, I was a size 10 and like fully developed in sixth grade. And I had a conversation with a friend who was telling me she wore a size 8 or 6 or something like that and could not believe that I was a size 10 because I was so much bigger than her. And not like in a mean way, but she was like a 4'2" person and I was probably 5'7" in sixth grade. And we had this conversation for like 20 minutes before realizing that she was talking about children's sizing and I was talking about women's sizing.
Oh.
And I think she's the one that realized it. And she was being so kind. It was not like making fun of me thing, but it was like mortifying for me. Like I had to just had I got warm thinking about it just now because I remember it so vividly. But it was something I did to myself. It was like a thought I had for myself.
Did anyone in your family struggle with their weight or?
Everyone in my family struggles with their weight. In fact, my mom has had gastric bypass as well. And my sister had it about 3 weeks after I did.
Wow.
I distinctly remember a version of my mom pre-surgery and a version of her post-surgery, which was sort of inspiring for me when I was going through the process of making the decision. Because as a mother of 2 children, I worry about what they see a lot. And I know that I saw Weight Watchers and Atkins diet and South Beach and all of the things pre-surgery from my parents, both of them, not just my mom. Mm. And then post-surgery from my mom, this has been 15 plus years at this point. I've seen her be a little bit more careful and a little less careful, but never enter a gym in her life and maintain her weight really, really well.
I think in those formative years, in childhood, seeing your parents diet really has a profound effect on you and it kind of carries through your entire lifetime. So I think that's incredible that you're thinking about your girls and thinking about how what you do now is going to affect them.
For sure.
Long term.
When I had the conversation with my husband about, should I do this? His response was like, I think he said, if you can be the bionic woman, be the bionic woman. If medicine can do it for you, do it.
Like, I love that.
But don't he said, don't make the decision based on me. Make the decision for yourself. And if anyone else is considered, consider the girls, my kids. And that was it.
Which I think is how it should be.
Yeah. So I know you mentioned being a swimmer, getting into swimming as a kid. And then I know as a teenager, that sport became very serious for you. How did that play into your weight and how you thought about your weight and dieting and things like that?
Yeah. So I think it played into the way I thought about my weight because I felt like I was huge in comparison to the people I was around. My team growing up was very serious and we had people that would move and homeschool their kids. They would move to Baltimore and homeschool their kids so that they could swim on the team that I was on. We didn't do that, obviously. I went to high school like a normal kid, but it was so serious. And these people were like peak performance athletes, like gold medalists. That wasn't a very impressive thing on my team to be an Olympic gold medalist. It was like a thing that people did. Not me, but like other people that I knew and now know well. And so I think surrounding myself with these like really elite level athletes made me feel just kind of mediocre. But yeah, even back then, I was swimming like 2.5 hours every single day, at least 6 days a week, with maybe a week and a half break of vacation. And I still was a really big person.
So after high school, you actually went to a Division I college to swim. How did that change your eating habits or your weight? Yeah.
So I think, I remember my first diet that I ever went on was in high school. And at that point, I was eating like maybe 1,200 calories a day.
And swimming.
And swimming 2 or 2.5 hours every single day. But in college was where like real yo-yo dieting started for me. I think I didn't change much of my eating habits except for that I owned a lot more of what I was consuming. And so I was more careful about it. But I think like that freshman 15 came and went, and it might have been freshman 30. I don't know. But in college, like it, depending on the year you look at, I have like like a ton of extremes. There's a lot of yo-yoing. I also started ADHD meds in college, my sophomore year of college. And that is, I think, the lowest weight I've ever seen on the scale was when I started that medication. And I also hurt myself that year. So I wasn't swimming, but I was going to practice because you had to be there. And then I was working out, like I was lifting with the team, but I wasn't swimming. And then I would go and work out with my roommates who weren't swimmers because I had sat through practice and didn't really work out. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I remember eating like an apple and 2 tablespoons of peanut butter from a coffee shop until dinner every day.
That's crazy.
The whole day. That was what you had from the time you woke up
and
until dinner.
So to put it in perspective, at that point, I probably had more muscle. But at that point, I was probably at about 168 pounds, which was like monumental for me. Because after I think after my freshman year, I was probably at like 200, 210, something like that. So after you are on ADHD meds for a while, the effect is not the same. And also I realized like I was miserable. And at this point, heavily drinking, going out like 4 nights a week and eating an apple and peanut butter all day, like just not sustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I graduated from college, I was probably at about 235. My degree is in hotel restaurant management. And we took a lot of like wine classes and spirits classes and stuff like that. And I love it. Like I still love wine. I love talking about it. I love tasting it, all of it. But that became my personality. And by the time I finished school, we were having wine nights like 6 nights a week and eating cheese while we sat on the couch, and I wasn't swimming anymore.
Yeah.
But you keep eating and keep doing the things the way you did when you were working out 2.5 hours a day. And then that stops. And one of the things I really struggled with after college was I didn't know how to work out for anyone other than a coach telling me to.
Hmm.
And for the longest time, it was my job. Like I hated it. The way you hate going to work sometimes, I was tired of going to practice. That was my scholarship. So I couldn't stop.
I know you mentioned that you gained a lot of weight those latter years of college. When did you make that jump from about 235 to where you ended up having bariatric surgery? Was that after college or was that with having children?
So a little bit of both. I think after college, I was around 235. Again, yo-yo dieting, I think I got down to like 200. And then I mentioned I struggled with like working out and trying to figure that out for myself after school was over and I didn't have to do it anymore. So I was kind of sedentary as far as like working out goes. But I was in a restaurant and I worked like 10-hour shifts and came home and again, drank probably 4 or 5 nights a week at that point, at least a couple glasses of wine with my roommate. And over those years, I probably put on another like 30 or so pounds. And then when I got pregnant with my oldest, Emerson, I think I was about 260 or so. I probably went up to like 295 during that pregnancy and then back down to like 260, 270. And then when I had Barty, who's my youngest, I just went up and up and up. And then after Barney was born, I decided I was getting a Peloton. I had done ClassPass here and there, like trying to figure out kind of what worked for me. I had done CrossFit for a little while because I thought like maybe having a coach and a team or whatever would be the most helpful thing I could do. And I liked that part of it, but it wasn't sustainable for me. I can't do a pull-up. Like, I was never going to be able to do a pull-up at 300 pounds. I found cycling, which I really enjoyed. I told my husband I wanted to get a Peloton a few times, like teased it. And he was like, oh, well, you know, like, are we going to use it and whatever? And I was like, oh, I guess I won't do it. And then in like March of 2021, I was at my wit's end and I didn't know what to do. And I one day was like, I'm buying a Peloton today. And he was like, okay. And I had like prepared myself for a whole fight or like,
yeah, you'd like debate. Already in your head.
Yeah, I had all these like pros and cons laid out. And he's like, okay, sounds good. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I bought it and I fell in love with it completely, especially having the two little kids at home. It was so nice to do. So at that point, I was probably, I don't know, like 280 or 300. I don't know. And I lost like 75 pounds that Whoa. Year.
Were
doing
you
Weight Watchers?
That's lot.
That was leading into my next question. Like, where did food and nutrition come into play?
So like I tried to hold off as long as I could because I tried to like work off my bad diet, but spoiler alert, it doesn't work. And so, yeah, I did Weight Watchers like religiously and lost like 75 pounds. It was the lowest I've ever been since like being out of college, having kids or whatever. And I realized that what I was doing was essentially like planned binging. So I would follow it religiously, like Monday through Saturday, or like what there would be one day a week where I wasn't. And on that day, it was like mayhem, like no guardrails, just like all over the place. And it was very much like the, oh, I've already wasted this day, so we'll start again tomorrow. Who cares? Like, here's another ice cream or whatever, like whatever it was.
I would do that all the time. Or I would be like, well, I've already ruined it, so I might as well do as much as I possibly can today because the day is already ruined.
Right,
so
because we're going to be totally different people tomorrow.
Right.
But it was also during that time of like getting the Peloton, starting to lose weight, that I like really started to be okay with my body being bigger, which is ironic because immediately after that, I found bariatric surgery and was like, this is the thing for me. But having kids changed the way I felt about myself completely because I had just nurtured and given birth to two perfect human beings. And like there's nothing that can top that for your body image to me. I hear people talk about all the time, like having kids just like totally ruined the way they felt about their body. To me, it was the complete opposite. I felt like the most powerful, like Amazon woman.
Hey, you grew a human inside
of
you.
Well, that and then, yeah. And then I produced milk that nourished them forever. Like it just is, I think it's the coolest thing in the world. And I would not say I ever identified as like a body positive person, but like body neutral is sort of where I got to be. So going into like considering bariatric surgery, I think I was in a much better headspace than most of my peers.
That's interesting. So you mentioned you lost about 70 pounds on Weight Watchers. Did you regain that weight before bariatric surgery or was that kept off and then you considered surgery?
No. So I regained like within 6 months of probably not being militant about tracking points and counting everything, I had gained all of that plus some back.
When you say not being militant, did you quote unquote go off the rails or like how, where did that, what?
Yeah, I don't know that I went off the rails, but that one day a week bled into like 2 or 3 days a week of not like binging by any means, but just like not tracking and trying to like use an off ramp, so to speak. And obviously like it just didn't work. I regained all of that before even considering surgery. I think surgery was always in the back of my mind because of my mom having had it, but she had it so long ago. It was like very invasive. She struggled after surgery. It was just a lot. And also I always had this image in my head of like, it's not for me. Like we talked about last week, it's for them. It's for those people. Mm-hmm. Because I was active, like I ran 5Ks all the time. I ran a 5K 4 weeks postpartum with Emerson at like probably 280 pounds. I don't know. Don't track me all these numbers I'm throwing out. But like my sister was like, we're doing a turkey trot. And I'm like, okay. It's crazy.
You also did a triathlon 4 months post-op, I believe. So not surprised.
And learned how to ride a bike. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was always like, that wasn't for me. It was for those people who like couldn't get off the couch. And then ironically, I'm laying on my couch one day and I'm like scrolling through our benefits package. I think because I was looking at something for the kids and I saw that I just passed by gastric bypass as like a listing on the surgeries. And at this point, yeah, I was like deep into the regain from Weight Watchers. And I think I passed it and I looked, found what I was looking for. And then it was like stuck in my head. And I went back and looked at it and my copay for it was $100.
Oh my gosh.
So I texted my sister immediately and I'm like, I'm doing this. And she's like, oh, you won't. It's so hard to qualify. Like, you never know. Whatever. We used to joke that my dad was still paying off my mom's surgery after they got divorced because it was so expensive too,
yeah,
for her. And so I'm like, it's $100. Like, what do I have to lose? I should at least ask about this. So I messaged my doctor that day, like literally, I think in the same time I was laying on my couch. I didn't say anything to my husband yet. I didn't say anything to anyone except for my sister, basically. And my doctor replied immediately and was like, your weight doesn't qualify for that. Like because the last time I had been to the doctor was probably 8 to 10 months before that when I had lost a bunch. This was like, I say advocating for yourself was something I learned during this process. And I did. I immediately messaged back and was like, it didn't with the last weight you have on file for me. That's not true anymore. Like, how do I fix that? Do I need to come in and be weighed? Like, I immediately was like, no, like, I know I want to talk about this. And yeah, I immediately went back and was like, nope, I do. My weight does qualify. Let's talk about this. And I think I had an appointment scheduled with my primary care doctor like the following week for a weight check.
That's
and
great.
Then, yeah, went through the process from there.
Allie, you mentioned advocating for yourself. I know that's something that has been, I think that you said you've learned how to do in this journey and was really necessary for you. So you were able to advocate for yourself and get that appointment with your doctor. And then was everything just kind of smooth sailing from there?
Yeah, I didn't have to find a surgeon because of my insurance. I just went through who they told me to, which was good and bad. Good for someone like me that struggles with making appointments and finding a doctor and that sort of thing. But also very limiting in the fact that like I couldn't control the timeline. I couldn't control who I wanted to do my surgery. But otherwise, I had no real reservations outside of the normal, like, what if I fail, which I still think about all the time. And then also just having any surgery with two little kids makes you nervous for like, what if I don't come out?
I'm curious. I don't know if other people are curious about this, but I want you to talk about, because I think about for me that pre-op and that post-op diet and how restrictive in particular it was. And it was just me. Like, I'm single. Yeah. I live alone. I don't have to worry about other stuff in the house. You had two little kids who needed food, who needed meals. And you're over here with your protein shakes. What did that look like being a mom and going through those stages?
So I make fun of him a lot, but I have a really good husband. For the 2 weeks that I was on liquids pre-op, I did not touch food more than like once. And it was very much like when I felt comfortable, I did. My husband made every meal for the kids. Every snack was ready for the kids so that I wouldn't have to do anything but like take a top off of something, which was so helpful.
Yeah. So you had a kind of intense liquid phase. You had 2 weeks pre-op. Is that right?
So I had 2 weeks pre-op of just liquids, 3 weeks post-op of just liquids. And then I moved right into soft foods. Yeah. And so I probably should have like weaned myself off of caffeine and didn't. I had 3 cups of coffee. Actually, the day that we met was the day before my liquid diet. And I had 2 cups of coffee at that brunch. And that was not the only coffee I had that day.
We have a meetup group in our area. And Allie was the day before her liquid diet started for her pre-op phase was the day that we had a meetup event. It was a brunch. And that's where the three of us met.
Yes, it was amazing.
It was the cutest thing.
Yeah. And then I remember getting coffee with you, Allie, after your surgery.
Oh,
it was like,
yeah,
oh, we got met.
Iced peppermint tea.
We did.
Right?
We got tea. You were like, I can't have coffee. I'm dying.
That was the worst.
Did you find the pre-op phase hard?
Just the first 2 days, like the coffee, the caffeine. I had killer headaches.
Yeah.
For like 2-3 days. But then also my husband planned like a little getaway. So we went to Colonial Beach in Virginia.
Aww.
For like a 3-day weekend. And he's like, you don't want to be around here where like all your normal stuff. Like every weekend we go to Eastern Market and we walk the market and get something to make that day or like get a coffee and pastries with the kids and whatever. And so he planned, yeah, like a little getaway. We went down and stayed on the river. We did go to one dinner. He wanted to go so bad out to dinner while we were there. And it was off season, so like most of the places were closed. It was like the little beach town, but it's like on the river.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was like, oh, that place looks good. And I'm like, if you want to go, we can go. And he's like, do you care? And I'm like, it's fine. So I go and I had these chicken broth protein flavors or whatever, chicken mm-hmm. and beef broth, which like saved me throughout the process because I was so tired of all the sweets.
Yeah.
So we go, we sit down and I ask for hot water. They come with a styrofoam cup of hot water. And those proteins had to be in like a very specific temperature range or else they would like curdle. So my family's having like salsa and chips. The girls have a quesadilla. Corey's got fajitas and we're like, everyone's living the dream. And I pour my chicken broth protein into this styrofoam cup and it looks like someone threw up in it.
Oh no.
Because it was like far too hot and I'm stirring it, trying to save it. And I'm like, I am stirring it with a fork, just like lifting clumps out of the cup. Oh my God, it was awful. And I'm just like, at this point, we're both just like cracking up laughing because he's like, of course this would happen for you. Like, and I'm like, do you have some ice? I'm trying to save it. It was awful, awful. But that really helped. Like getting away really helped. It's just a change of scenery really helped kind of get away from our norm.
Okay. So you made it through your 2-week liquid diet pre-op. You have surgery. You get through those 3 weeks of liquids.
Yeah.
So is it smooth sailing after that?
So I would say smooth sailing up until those 3 weeks were over.
Okay.
And then I didn't do pureed foods or anything. I think during that liquid phase, at like the last week, I could have cottage cheese and I could have egg drop soup, which I've never had before in my life. But when I tell you, I was like, someone call the Michelin guide and get this carry out on the Michelin guide because it was the best thing I'd ever put in my mouth after not having food. And then my mom also recommended putting pickle juice in my cottage cheese. And of course, I'm like messaging the doctor, like, is it okay to use pickle juice? Because I'm like, I don't know if it'll burn my incisions. I don't know what I thought was going to happen.
I'm terrified of everything.
Yeah, but I was like, yeah, they were like, whatever, dude, we don't care. Do whatever you want. And so I would, yeah, I was adding pickle juice to cottage cheese. It was like the best thing I'd ever eaten in my head.
Wait, should I be doing that? Is that a thing we are doing now?
I don't think that's pickle a thing we're doing now.
Oh, I love pickle juice in anything. So yeah, I feel like I just heard that recently that somebody was doing that. And I'm like, old news.
I'll be passing on that.
We did, but we went to Eastern Market and got like spicy sriracha pickles. And I would put that juice in the, it was fantastic.
In the cottage
anyway,
cheese.
Anyway, listen, okay, you do the best you can with what you have, right?
Yeah. No, you have an interesting palate, so I can't always. But I like pickle juice and I like cottage cheese. I did a cottage cheese like toast today. I did toast, cottage cheese, and prosciutto and balsamic.
You love prosciutto.
That sounds fantastic.
Wait, come on.
You liked it with?
Yeah, and peaches. But I switched it up a little bit because I opened the burrata and it had mold on it. Anyway.
You hate to see it happen. So, yeah, smooth sailing up until I added like foods in. I think one of the first things I had in the first few days was a ground chicken burger, like the Amy Lou burgers. Mm-hmm. And I had one bite of it and violently threw up for like hours.
Oh no.
And I couldn't figure out why. I was like, maybe it was too fast. It was too whatever. And I just like, I was like, is this what they've been talking about? Like, this is the worst thing I could imagine. And I was like, just, yeah, violently sick after that. And for like probably a week, like every other day, I was feeling like very nauseous when I would eat something. And it was just like a very steep learning curve, I think, because I didn't have that onboarding process of like new.
Yeah.
So for the first 6 months after surgery, I was like very careful. You guys know this. I like had to have a whole therapy session with you about adding more than 50 grams of carbs in my day.
Yeah.
But so I didn't try anything that I thought would make me sick. I think early on, it was just like the shock of reintroducing food and also learning to pace myself a little bit better and like really chew thoroughly, that sort of thing. Like that was more the learning curve, not the food itself.
I think one thing that's a little bit different about your bariatric journey is that you lost your weight very quickly and you've really been in maintenance since about 7 months post-op. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So going into surgery, they told me I could expect to lose 70% of my excess weight, which let's like say it was 100 pounds. I thought maybe I would make it to like 200, 210, right? Like perfect world. And I got to 200 probably by 3 months post-op.
Yeah.
And then I I got to my current weight by like mid-October. So just about 7 months post-op. I think a lot of things about my body have continued to change since I entered like maintenance mode. My body composition, I think, has changed a lot. You know, in the last 5 months or so, I've been about the same weight, but like clothes have fit differently. My sizing has changed a lot. Muscularly, I think there's like things that are visible that were not before. But yeah, I think, Casey, you said this, like, give it your all for 6 months. And I did that. And then I started to sort of like find balance, like you said, and having you guys there was really helpful for that for me, which is what hopefully we can bring to people that listen to this, because it's been, I think that's like the biggest assist or help for me in this process, is having people who have already sort of navigated finding a little bit of balance.
I know as bariatric patients, we're always told you have a year to 18 months to lose all of your weight. Did you feel any sort of anxiety or stress around the fact that you were entering maintenance at 7 months? And also, how did you know that it was time to go into that maintenance mode?
Well, so I didn't change anything. I don't track anymore. And I'm kind of like I said, I've found more balance in my life, but I have not actively tried to stop losing weight. I've tried to listen to my body a little bit more, which is a brand new exercise for me, as I think it probably is for most bariatric patients. But yeah, I never was like, okay, this is enough. And there are days still where I'm like, I don't know, maybe I will lose a little more. Maybe it's, you know, like maybe this is just a long stall. At our last meetup, I was talking to somebody, she asked about stalls. I'm like, I don't know, maybe this is one. I don't know. I definitely had anxiety, though, around how fast I was losing and potentially that it wouldn't be sustainable. Hmm. It felt like, okay, this is it. Now I'm going to go back up from here. And then maybe I'll stay at that weight when I go back up. I didn't imagine that there was a world where for 5-6 months now, I've been able to maintain the weight that I was at without having to track everything.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Just, you know, being able to live life.
I had two people. So my sister and my husband in the same week came to me and were like, you've got to let up a little bit. And my husband's point was like, you did this so that the kids would see like a healthier version of you and like a healthier way to live your life. And you are like putting dinner on the table. Thank you. And then 30 minutes later, like you're sitting down when we've all finished because you're in there in the kitchen, like weighing and tracking everything. And that's not really what you wanted from this. And I was frustrated with him because I'm like, I'm just doing what they told me because I don't trust myself at all. Yeah. So I think like the last 6 months or so has been like really an exercise in learning to trust myself a little more. I'm not there, but it's been really refreshing to have the runway, I guess, to be able to try that. Mm-hmm. I was thinking today about like, did you guys ever do like a rope climb?
I was asked to do one. Yeah, I never did it.
Or like, you're talking to three former faculties.
No,
we did not climb up any ropes.
You guys ever scaled a building? Like, I don't know.
No, do you mean like in gym class where they'd have the ropes and you would have to climb up?
Yeah, so I did it in CrossFit. I never did it in gym.
But I remember being in school and like I didn't even make it up one rung. Like it wasn't, I'm like, no, my body physically cannot get me up this rope.
So like I was thinking about that, or like for me, like trying to do a pull up, but you can't even like get yourself enough grip to strategize, right? Because you're just falling. That's how I felt before. I couldn't make a plan. I couldn't start to trust myself because I was in free fall. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I have, I don't know, a step underneath of me or like a stool there. So like I can put my foot down if I start to fall and regroup and get it together and like identify whether what I'm hearing and feeling is hunger or boredom or whatever. And I have the runway to like play with that a little bit and understand it better. Whereas before, I would like jump up and grab onto the rope and just immediately fall down. There was no guardrail there to help.
I love that metaphor.
I literally, like, I already in my mind edited it. That's a video clip. It's gonna go.
So I want to circle back to the fact that you were and you still are an athlete. And I know from knowing you that workouts have played a big part of your journey. So can you talk a little bit about how you got back into working out after bariatric surgery and what that looks like for you now?
Yeah. In 2021, when I got a Peloton, my entire focus shifted from losing weight to working out for my mental health. And I think that's made a huge difference in my post-op athletic journey because the instant gratification comes from the mental, like internal side of working out for me. So like, even if I run and it's painful or it sucks or whatever, I still get like instant gratification from that, which is a really nice way to look at it, I think. And it encourages me to like get things done more frequently. So right up until surgery, I was working out probably like 45 minutes a day. After surgery, you're supposed to walk every hour. I walked 5 miles around my house in one day.
Of course, surgery. You
did. I had an alarm set. I had notes where I like would say, this is how long I walked for. I would start my watch, indoor walk, and walk around my house literally in laps. My husband would say, let's go, get up, it's time. And we would walk together, or he would say like, oh, that's all you got? Come on, give it 5 more minutes or something. My oldest daughter, Emerson, invited me to go for a walk around the block at one point because she was like, do you want to get out of here? This is sad, right? So I started walking right away. And at my 2 week post-op appointment, my doctor, I asked her, I'm like, what can I do? Because I'm like going stir crazy again for like the mental benefits of working out for me. And she was like, anything you want now. I think everything's fine. And I'm like, what? Like I had heard like don't lift anything for 6 weeks. I had just done a photo shoot with my family where I told the photographer I couldn't lift either of my children up. And she was like 2 days before. I'm like, this would have been nice to know. The pictures are great, by the way. So it doesn't matter. But she's like, whatever you want. Like if it hurts, don't do it. I wouldn't recommend like lifting really heavy, which I didn't plan on anyway. I had like 3 and 5 pound weights, I think, from my Peloton, but that was it. Cause I was mostly doing cardio before.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like 2 weeks and a day or whatever post-op, I did my first Peloton bike ride, probably like 5 or 10 minutes and like maybe a 10 minute arm video. And then from there, like progressively got more intense. And I did get to a point like maybe a month or two in where I would revert back to like my old self, which is like, if I don't have 45 minutes to like just absolutely blow something out of the water, it's not worth trying. And my sister, the one who had surgery, was like, I'm struggling with consistency. And I was like, yeah, I think I am too, actually, because I would go, you know, 3 or 4 days at a time without working out because I didn't have 45 minutes to devote to it. And so I personally had found this little template on Instagram, you know, like a goal tracker thing. Mm-hmm. And one of them was flamingo. It was like right around June. It was like a flamingo theme for the summer. And I would call it my flamingo. So I would go for a walk. Do you hate me?
So much.
Lisa's face right now is like, just please. And I agree, but listen, it got me
questioning
there.
My friendship choices.
Yeah, I'll show you all of them if you want to send them to you.
Can't
but
wait.
If my goal was to do something for 20 minutes for myself, like something active, focused, whatever. I didn't care if it was stretching, yoga, whatever. It didn't have to be intense, just 20 minutes, go for a walk or whatever, outside of like my normal family activity. My sister and I did that together and we would send our flamingo to each other every day with our little flamingo emojis added on the day. Like yeah. It was really obnoxious, but it worked. And then refocusing into that, like just 20 minutes a day made it so much more accessible for me to do and less intimidating. Or like if I got home at the end of an awful, tiring day, 20 minutes is like nothing. And I'm not even going to work up enough of a sweat to need to shower afterwards. You know, like it's fine. And also one of the really cool things for me was my surgeon suggested like strength training, which I think is like a normal thing that we hear after bariatric surgery. Like you're going to lose the weight. Don't focus on cardio because if you do, you may risk losing muscle as well. Mm-hmm. And so strength training was like new to be like a regular thing for me. So I was like, I love the feeling of being sore, like after a workout, like the next day, that's the best to me. Like your money's well spent if you get that. And so that was like also really encouraging to me. Cause I was like, oh my God, like I didn't even realize I had this place in my body where it could be sore. So yeah, that 20 minutes kind of turned into about 30 a day. I average less workout time now than I did pre-surgery and my body's completely different.
Wow. Yeah. I think it's important the way that you talk about it, because I think for a lot of us, there's this mentality of like, oh, it has to be this or it's not good enough or it's not worth doing. It's that same thing of like, oh, well, I screwed up my eating for today. Might as well start tomorrow. I can't do 45 minutes, so I might as well not do it at all. And it's like, no, something is always better than nothing. Like just and being able to meet yourself where you are and do what's manageable and what works for you instead of like setting this impossible standard.
Yeah. Well, and it's like the same thing as the rope analogy again. Like if you're building this into your life, you have a little bit more leeway. Like today I told you guys I started to run and my headphones wouldn't connect and I was in a bad mood about it and my dog was acting up and I was just like, I'm done with this today. And I don't feel bad about that. Like I would have liked to, because again, like I feel better when I do. But I had like a little short walk and then the rest of my day I did stuff with my kids and like where I just don't regret it at all. But that's because I know that tomorrow I will. And yesterday I did. And that's all fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a slippery slope for me anymore.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes back to this whole idea of trusting yourself and knowing that you have this under control now and that it's not, you know, one false move and everything crumbles. You trust yourself, you trust your body. And I think that's one of the biggest benefits of bariatric surgery is it does give you that ability to not have to be so regimented, to be able to have a little bit more freedom.
Yeah.
It takes time, just for anyone maybe listening that's like, oh gosh, I'm not there yet. What am I doing wrong? Why don't I trust myself? I'm almost a year and a half out. It's something I actively work on in therapy constantly because I'm 35 years old. For 33 years, I made promises and set goals for myself that I didn't keep. And it takes a long time to build that trust back up. So if you're not there yet, it's okay.
Well, yeah. And I'm not there yet on the food side. I think of this as like two separate arms, right, of the same person. Like the workout stuff, because of the groundwork and because of the mental work I think I had done, which in a way was almost like I gave up. Like I gave up on losing weight. And so I was like, well, I'll do all this physical activity for other things, which is like maybe a little bit sad, but it really ended up working out for me in the long run, I think, at least so far. But with the food, I very much feel like it's a slippery slope again. So like physical movement, whatever, I feel great about that. I'm very confident in it. On the food side, I overthink and question everything I put in my mouth. And I overthink and question every morning when I get on the scale. I think about, oh gosh, like this is it, because I don't know how to eat and I don't trust myself and I wasn't really hungry when I reached for X and whatever. And actually, like the way that I train has impacted my hunger.
Yeah.
And also throws another wrench into things. Like maybe when you feel like you have a little bit of a grip on what's going on, here's something else.
Yeah. It's the, you know, it's forever, really. Like it never, there's always something new, something different, something. It's like cheesy cliche, but it's a lifelong journey that we're on here.
Yeah. I'm excited for like future episodes. Like I'm excited to talk about my relationship with my husband, with myself, with my kids, like the way things have changed. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Are we at time yet? You guys can't possibly listen to anything else I say about myself.
This was fantastic. This was so interesting. I think you've had such an interesting story, both from where you started and your journey through bariatric surgery. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
And thanks for listening.
She's a star.
I can't wait to dive into some of those other topics in future episodes. So looking forward to that. So we hope you'll join us next week. Next week, we get to talk about my story.
Woo-woo.
There's a doctor in the house.
Okay.
A famous doctor.
All right. Let's cool our jets.
A world famous episode, a world famous star coming next week. Tune in live.
Okay.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
You'll regret it much. If you miss it. Let's wrap this up.
We hope you'll join us next week. If you want to follow us on social media, we're on Instagram and TikTok at Former Fat Friend Pod.
I'm at Allie's Losing It _RNY.
I'm at Leaning Into Lisa.
And I'm at Maintaining Casey on Instagram and TikTok. See you next time.